This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
All right. We're all still reacting to, we reacted to the first round of the NFL draft, in which
I've been reacting ever since it happened. I'm still reacting.
In which a lot of the offensive linemen, the wide receivers, and all other things that the Texans were interested in kind of seemed to go when the Texans ultimately decided to trade back, trading their 25th pick for 34 and some others in order to allow the Giants to go up and select Jackson Dart, interestingly enough. We'll have to talk about that. Talk about that around the NFL.
That's a whole nother conversation.
Also, and I thought this was a fair point coming in on the text line, the Jim Allen, the text hammer text line, saying, talking about the Texans, what they were able to recruit versus the, pretty large trade haul that the Rams were able to get one pick behind them for the Falcons to come up and get a not quarterback compared. So, that was very interesting to see. That happened.
If I was Nick Cassera, I would have been Atlanta.
Hey,
y'all ain't hit me up. What's up?
Especially, Nick Cassera talked a lot about the various, the due diligence that they did. And, we know through various different reports that as early as 2 and 3, we're talking about trades. And, all the way through, it seemed like there was a lot of teams that were discussing trades, even though we came into today with, every team controlling their own pick. It seemed like there was a lot of conversation about moving and shaking. There was four trades, if memory serves me correctly. In fact, let's go to Nick Cassera. Actually, can you give me cut three? I know that I didn't ask this for this one, but I do want to ask. That's my bad. But in the moment, I realized, because it's a very good question to Nick Cassera. He was obviously talking after the first round to kind of give his thoughts and his experiences and processes on how this fell. He was asked, at what point did it become a reality that the Texans would be trading back?
Yeah, probably like way before we probably were picking. So, we were kind of looking, let's say, in the upper teens there a little bit. There were some opportunities. We could kind of move. All right, what are the teams going to do? So we were talking about it. It wasn't like wait until 25 and all of a sudden, at one point I think we had 3 or 4 trades, potentially on the board before we got to 25. And then when we got to 25, we still had a couple scenarios. Some teams were looking at some situations. So, we took what we felt was the best offer and what the best decision for us was at that time. So we made the move.
He was ready to make some moves, from move up. And, obviously you always talk about, stick and pick versus move up and move down. He was all of that. He was dealing with all of that a lot. Like, as we mentioned, he said he literally talked to the entire league, something along the lines of, I don't want to say the entire league, but the entire league. And you'll hear that. But, it was something that they clearly saw happening, as we saw happening, as these linemen were leaving, et cetera.
I did find it interesting that he said that as early as the early teens, they started thinking about moving back, which does make me think, who went in the early teens?
Yes.
Tyler Booker. Did he see Banks and Booker go and go, I know how this might play out to the point where we need to be prepared to back out here. But, still, it's now I will go back to, this is what Nick Cassera opened up with, at the outset of this presser, with a little bit of optimism and hope, which you would expect in the process still. I was interested, considering, all things considered.
Yeah, we're in a good spot. Feel really good about where we are. We went into the day, I'd say, honestly, we had 3 different scenarios. Trade up, stay 25 and pick. Trade back. D'Amico and I have been talking about it basically for 2-3 days. Here are some different scenarios. Here are some possibilities. I don't want to say we talked to the whole league, but we probably talked to the whole league on every different level. So, there are some players that we identified somewhere out of reach. In the end, trades are a byproduct of teams willing to make a decision to move or not. So, we fell at 25. That was the best thing for us. Puts us in a pretty good spot. 2 twos, 3 threes, picked up another 3 next year. So, I mean, we'll deal with tomorrow. We think we're going to get some pretty good football players tomorrow. We felt like the value to draft was basically in the middle. So we'll try to take advantage of our opportunities here tomorrow. Put ourselves in a pretty good position next year as well. 1, 2 twos, 2 threes, 2 fours. So, I mean, we've always talked about just creating as much flexibility and optionality for us as possible. And that's where we are. So, I mean, there's 2 more days of the draft that left. We'll see how these next few days go. I'll try to, you know, make good, smart decisions tomorrow. Trust our process. Trust our evaluations.
There you go.
And then once we get through the draft, kind of flip the page and kind of go to the next phase. So we're going to get good football players. D'Amico and I feel really good about tomorrow. So, you know, we'll kind of see what happens.
All right. So one thing that, you know, we were talking about as we were watching this post-draft press conference that doesn't come over in the audio is he did look, first of all, he was as candid as he'll ever get, even more so than most recently.
Right.
You know, and he's been, so he was very, very candid. He was kind of about as emotional as Nick Caserio will ever show outside of dropping an F-bomb.
Emotional?
About as outside of dropping an F-bomb here and there. But he also kind of looked a little frustrated. I commented to you and Figgy about that. He just kind of looks like he had his chance, and then maybe that speaks to the two players that were gone in the early teens. You know, so maybe those were the two guys that they earmarked and just it didn't happen.
What do you think he was frustrated about?
That.
Like, well, not having, I think it's more not having a dance partner.
Well, that too, but yeah. I think they identified a couple of players, and he said in the early teens, as you talked about, and I think he's like, well, okay, now we got to adjust.
I wonder what, like, specifically what he was frustrated about. Like, was it teams saying, hey, I need a first round pick?
Not getting the deal that he wanted.
I need a first and a second. Yeah. Was it the price of the brick? Mm-hmm. Was he frustrated about?
Yes.
Because to me, I think that's why he ain't pull the trigger. He's like, man, I'm not paying this.
Yeah. That, and I imagine somebody said on the text line, Nick sounds a little defensive, and I imagine he was a little pre-defensive about, mm-hmm. you know, he knew that there was a lot of excitement about this particular first round pick. You haven't had a lot of those in the recent history mm-hmm. of the draft for this team. And so there's a lot of people looking at it, and he knew that there was a few people that were darlings, players that were darlings of the fan base, and that we were going to come in with the level of questions as to why they didn't get any of those guys, especially with the understanding that we know that he typically trades up. And it seems like he wanted to let us know, hey, it's not me. I was looking.
I tried.
But, you know.
And that was like, the frustration.
Y'all know the price of that brick?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, no, y'all wouldn't have did it either. Because I don't know how we would have felt if he gave up next year's first round pick.
I think it's like any human on the planet. You really wanted something. You thought you were going to get something, and you didn't get it. You know, and for whatever reason, whether it was the player was taken or the price was too high, and it was probably a combination of the two, and so he was like, well, damn it. And dang it, now we got to change.
All right, so, it does feel like if you were to take him at his word, because I know some people aren't necessarily feeling him at his word, especially with Matthew Golden still being out there all the way to, what is that, 23?
Yeah.
When the Packers selected there. But if you are to take him at his word, it does feel like that probably speaks to maybe offensive line, right, mm-hmm. and how that run started happening. And obviously they have a certain level of intel calling all these teams or what have you. Then where does that put you on the other offensive linemen that were there that probably could have been selected when it comes to Josh Connerly or Josh Simmons that were taken after? And also, Nick Caserio, at one point in this, he also let loose entirely unprompted that one of the players that they said that they would have felt comfortable taking at 25 is still out there as we enter into day two. Like, how are you? Oh, we actually have the audio of that?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'd like to hear that again. But, like, how do you feel about the idea that there were still some linemen out there, particularly Connerly and Simmons, that they decided and they opted, no, we'd rather just move back and get more capital into this space, maybe as in the next bucket of players?
I think it's the classic Nick Caserio cost value management. I'm not saying he did. He didn't think Connerly and Simmons, who were taken after, they were on the board at 25. He could have stayed and got neither one of those, but that wasn't the player they identified. This is what he said.
Good question. Actually, one of the players that we were talking about is actually still on the board. Yeah, so it's a good question. So whether or not we actually pick the player, like, we'll see if that actually happens.
I was shocked when he said that.
I was shocked. Now, he never does something like that. So they got pick 34 now. They have pick 34.
Do you think they're going to move up at some point?
To 33?
Yeah, to the one pick that's in front of them?
If they, I mean, you know, I don't think that's crazy.
Yeah.
I really don't.
Yeah. It wouldn't shock me if the Browns was looking at somebody that they wanted.
If there's one dude left, and he said it, that they identified. And they
let's make sure we get this
let's
guy.
Get him. Let's get him.
Because if the Browns take the person they was thinking about.
Then there we go again.
That's, yeah that's a bad, that's already bad day too.
Yeah.
Who, is there a player that popped into your mind on possibilities of who he was talking about there? Like, who popped into your mind when he said that one of those guys that they were willing to take at 25 still exists on the board?
Man, I've tried and I've tried.
I have no clue.
I've been looking. Did someone come into your?
I mean, one of the ones that people were talking about was like Luther Burden, which is very interesting because Burden is, I've kind of had him in my brain. I've seen him described, is probably a better way of saying it, as kind of Debo Samuel. Like, he's a lot of catching the ball in the backfield and yak and things of that nature. And I'm interested. I don't necessarily know if that's how this offense will work, although I don't know how this offense will work just in general, but that feels like that is a very particular skill set that you are working to fit, which you have a game plan offense that you're planning to get out here. I understand that. But that wouldn't that seem almost like you would do that more with Bobby Slowick at the helm, assuming the San Francisco tie compared to Nick Haley with more of the Rams tie, even though those are still kind of similar trees. Wouldn't you think that would be the way that it goes? Although Luther Burden, talented player, what have you?
Yeah, look, I'm wondering if we're kind of pigeonholing offensive lineman and receiver here. I'm wondering if the player that they really thought was the player that they could, one of the players they could take at 25, isn't even a lineman or a receiver.
You think it was that running back for
they brought
North Carolina?
In Caleb Johnson, Travion, the kid from Ohio.
Travion Henderson.
Henderson is still there. That's a high place to take a running back, but two running backs were taken in the first round. And so of the linemen, I think the highest rated, USA Today did like a top 100 prospects. Yeah. The highest rated one left is rated 61. And so 61 is not some, you know, unless they value him higher and you never know, but that's pretty high to take that an offensive lineman there that's ranked 61.
Maybe the people they was trying to get is already gone, and the reason why they traded out of that 25th pick is the person they really wanted is really a second rounder type of pick. So yeah, it didn't make no sense to reach for that person.
Sure.
I see some folks saying that they like Higgins maybe more than Burden. Jaden Higgins, the Iowa State first rounder, really big. Really big kind of receiver, has that kind of size and that physicality. Well, I think we'll dig more into some of these players that are available. Someone's like Nick Emmanuel, the safety. Man, drafting a safety on this team.
Another safety?
We would definitely get into a weird place. We'll talk more about the players that you still want to see as we continue. But yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. That is a good point, right? Some other reporting, Bobby Belt up there in Dallas did say that the Texans tried to move to 12, but Dallas actually wanted picks this year and not future pick. So maybe
Bastards. It
seems like they, which is interesting because he has a largest allotment that I would feel like you could dig into for this draft. But I guess some people are in a Nick we trust. There's a lot of picks that are available to move around. We'll continue to talk about what it could look like moving forward for this Texans team as they still have all of their 2025 NFL draft picks ahead of them here going on tonight and tomorrow. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into our question of the day. We've talked about the frustration that a lot of people felt on day one. How do you typically rationalize when you don't get your way? 713-572-4610. We'll do it next.